You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
It is the Diamond District bonus hour on this hump day. Getting over it together. Hope your week's gone well. Hope it gets even better. MillerandMoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. And you go to MillerandMoulton.com in case you miss any part of the show. Like Kilo Stad, Mark, in our Twitch chat room. He said, my boss wanted to talk to me, and I missed the draft talk. What sucks more than that? Well, then go to MillerandMoulton.com. Ian Cummings. You know, about 90 minutes ago, bada bing, bada boom, our draft talk. There, done. And tell the boss, you got plenty of time to work. This is important.
I may go back and listen to Ian Cummings again because he starts going through players so quickly. Deep dives. When I'm dumb enough to ask about interior offensive linemen and he's got, you know, third round guys coming at you.
Right, nine of them. Well, you can get this guy in the first, this guy in the second, this guy in the third. Dolphins don't have a third, though, so it's like, whoa, okay, all right.
You've got to love that, though, when a guy gets so immersed in one thing. I mean, it's the NFL draft. That means you've been watching college football. You've been crunching the numbers, as we like to say, and it's finally, what, a little over a week away?
When your handle is IC_draft, I mean, you're basically saying, I don't have a life, man.
Right. Unless you live in Pittsburgh and you just like to drink cheap beer. That's the only other excuse for that handle.
And you prefer it on draft and not in a bottle. Right.
Ugh.
That was such a good call by you earlier.
It's all I think of every time. And we've had Ian on a bunch, and he is terrific. He has got this down. He is ready for the draft.
Here's what I love about the draft. First off, everybody's right and everybody's wrong. At the same time, Merrill Hodge, who, for what it's worth, even though he doesn't have a national platform anymore, Merrill Hodge has been more accurate than most about quarterbacks over the last 10 or so years. And he thinks Drake May is going to get you fired.
Fired.
He just fired.
Said his last game was embarrassing. His last game was an embarrassment.
Yeah. He said he's not accurate, and he's going to get you fired. Meanwhile, Ian Cummings has him as the number one prospect in the draft, ahead of Caleb Williams, ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr., by the way. Okay. So Ian would be pounding the table, whether it's the Bears. And we know who the Bears are going to take, but Ian is, if he's the Commanders, he's like, listen, we're going Drake May. We ain't going Daniels, okay? We ain't going McCarthy. Don't get any crazy idea. We're going Drake May.
And for the record, I'm a Daniels guy. I believe you're a Daniels guy. Pat Kerwin is a Daniels guy.
We are. So we're all going to sink or swim together here on this one.
That's all I need, by the way. The three of you guys in sync, say less. I'm a Daniels guy too, then.
No, I'd go the other way. come on. Listen, I would blame Miller and Moulton for dragging Kerwin into it. That's what, you know, see, Kerwin gets a pass when he's associated with us. It's like, well, you know, he talks to them twice a week. He's just feeling, you know, wanted to make them feel better.
But Kerwin's also big on Penix.
Yes.
Very big on Penix.
Mm-hmm. He would take him top half of the first round. He would, if he was the Vikings, he would not trade up. He would just take Penix at 11.
Is there a team in particular that you think Penix fits really well with right now?
I think Penix can play. What scared me about Penix was the Michigan game. I felt about him the way some may feel, and I'm not trying to compare him to any Alabama quarterbacks, but when your offensive line is graded out as the best offensive line in college football, you have two receivers who are going to go in the top 12 picks of the draft.
Who's this?
Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And Penix,
yeah.
I mean, so Penix had the best O-line.
Well, Odunze's going to go in the top 10. I mean, just... LSU's got the two receivers.
But Washington's got two good receivers that are going to go.
They did. The other kid's getting drafted. He is. He's a day two pick.
But couldn't I just play? I agree with you, but just to play devil's advocate, Michigan has NFL talent at corner. in that defensive backfield. So
Michigan could set the record for number of players drafted. I will say there's not a ton of Michigan products in the top 50. I mean, they're going to get a ton of guys drafted, but
We found out is Michigan won because of their quarterback was so good.
Apparently, which is amazing because he didn't throw the ball. Right?
He's going to go third overall.
What in the hell?
Don't you think at least 10% of that or 20% of that is just because he went to Michigan and Tom Brady went there and the Patriots were like, we like that guy.
No. I think a lot of it's Jim Harbaugh.
I think some of it's Harbaugh, who has a good track record, by the way. Remember Kaepernick, he was the one that put Kaepernick in over Alex Smith. He liked him. He advocated for drafting him in the second round. And then Alex Smith took him to the NFC Championship game and had him in first place in the conference and got banged up with a concussion and never started again for the Niners.
So you guys don't think there's any Michigan bias?
No.
No.
Because there wasn't. If there were a Michigan bias, we would have heard about it all year long. None of this started until the season was long over and we started getting into the intangibles. They weren't talking about McCarthy as a – I mean, if that were the case, they would have been talking about him in September, and that was never the way they talked about J.J. McCarthy.
I get it, but with them winning the natty – go ahead, David.
The only – you asked the question, the place where you think Penix would fit best. And, you know, you got to draw the line in the sand. Do you do the first half of the draft teams who obviously are not as good, and then there's a bunch of the quote-unquote good teams. But I'll go with the top half of the first round. And Pat has mentioned this before. If Sean Payton wants a pocket quarterback, 7-8 yards behind center, getting rid of the ball quickly, being accurate, you know, so he could run the Drew Brees offense in Denver. Well, to me, that's either the Michigan quarterback or it's the Washington quarterback. And you may argue, well, Bo Nix completed 78% of his passes. Yeah, and 40% of them were behind the line of scrimmage. And that's not me being a jerk. No, that's the truth. Okay, so many of the passes that Bo Nix completed at Oregon, they don't run those plays on Sunday. So you would have to evaluate Bo Nix is a very difficult evaluation because what they're going to ask him to do on Sunday, he didn't do most of his college career. So Denver to me with Penix is interesting. There's no talk of Denver taking him at 12. But if you were to think about it, Sean Payton with Drew Brees, and what he did in New Orleans, and we're not saying Penix is going to be another Breeze, but just a pocket passer, accurate, get rid of it quickly. Pat has said, they have the numbers, they're out there. Nobody took less sacks than Penix. Nobody got rid of it more quickly under pressure than Penix. Oh, by the way, he's got the strongest arm of all the quarterbacks. I mean, flat-footed, throw it 75 yards. Unless you're going to count Joe Milton, and Joe Milton to me is – Joe Milton gets you fired, I'll tell you that. But – so that one, Trent, interests me. If you're Denver, there's talk Vegas will take him at 13. That if of the team that in the top 15 that may just say, you know what, I love him, I'm taking him, the talk is the Raiders.
Does Bo Nix get you fired, David?
Well, it would certainly have to get me drug tested because that means I drafted him, and I wouldn't draft Bo Nix if you put a gun to my head.
Where do you rank him in these quarterbacks?
37. Okay.
Like, put it this honestly, way. Rattler or Bo Nix?
I'm sorry, who?
Spencer Rattler or Bo Nix?
Oh, my goodness, Spencer Rattler.
And Rattler's going to be a third-round pick.
Yeah, I'm not a Bo Nix guy, and obviously I could be very wrong here. Don't know what to tell you. Listen, I didn't know Johnny Manziel was an addict. Okay. The Johnny Manziel I saw in college, I'm like, that guy can play on Sundays.
Yeah, wait. So Moulton was a Johnny Manziel guy. Were you a Johnny Manziel guy?
I was not.
No, okay. He was not.
I loved him as a collegiate player. I wouldn't have drafted him.
And the reason that I said yes was because I saw what he did from the pocket, not the running around. The game-winning drive that put the game away against Alabama were three throws from the pocket, and they were three NFL throws. And I went, oh, that's an NFL quarterback. But that guy, you know, that's not who Cleveland drafted. By the way, Merrill Hodge said Johnny Manziel was a sixth-round pick. Sixth-round pick. Skip Bayless said he should be the number one pick of the draft.
Oh, my God. Skip Bayless said he'd have a statue before LeBron would in Cleveland. Yes. So
I mean, he's, you know, we all have our, ooh, damn. Can I take that back? Damn, they record this? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We all got him.
That's the beauty of getting on here every morning. You guys stick your necks out there, and sometimes there's a sword.
I was a Russell Wilson guy. Okay, in that draft, and that was the Andrew Luck draft, and ask Mark. I said Russell Wilson was the second best quarterback in the draft.
You were a Russell Wilson guy. You were a Dak Prescott guy, and that's turned out to be right. I mean, despite of where we think Dak is now, he was a day three pick, right?
Yeah, he was
fourth round pick.
Yeah. Right. Cleveland took like Cody Kessler when they could have taken Dak Prescott.
So my Merrill Hodge litmus test for you guys, I'm just curious, what were your thoughts on Baker coming out?
I thought it was a huge reach.
Okay. What about Sam Darnold? Because he was the other guy, right? I mean, he was going to be the number one pick until the Baker stuff heated up, right?
Yeah, I actually was not enamored with any of those quarter. I was probably most enamored with Lamar. Listen, I was wrong about Josh Allen because I just said you're completing 54% of your passes at Wyoming.
At Wyoming.
Okay.
And it looked really like we were both right heading into year three in Buffalo, by the way.
Until they got him Diggs. First 2 years without Diggs, take a look at his numbers. Not that great.
You could also argue you guys are still right. I mean, he's flashy, but he's
reckless. No.
I like Josh Allen.
Top five quarterback in the league. No.
He hasn't won anything.
And he's a top 10 running back, which, I mean, you know, so you got that going for him.
All right, for fun, humor me. 03 NBA draft. What did you guys think of the top four there? Did anyone have any stock in Darko?
I wasn't even working in this business. I was working for a minor league hockey team, for the love of God. I didn't care. But I know
If I had called Mark up for an interview, because I was doing a local show then, Mark was doing the Everblades. If I had called Mark up for a local interview and said, hey, let's talk the top of the NBA draft, okay, who you taking after LeBron? Mark would have said Tom Buckley. Okay.
No, I'd have probably gone Reggie Berg. Don't kid yourself.
Okay, Reggie Berg. Ryan Brindley. I mean, honestly, he just would have gone right down the list of Everblades. Would have been like, what the are you talking about? And then he would have said, wait a minute, I just saw Carmelo win Syracuse the title. All right, I'll take Melo. Miller or Moulton?
Welcome to the Bonus Hour, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
21 minutes past the hour, good, bad, and ugly. What's on tap? Today was the day when some final thoughts, a couple of bets, a sprinkle, a boost. It's all coming up in less than 20 minutes' time.
A sprinkle and a boost, huh?
Sprinkle and a boost, yep. Hey, we talk about this more than most, and I know there's something you want to bring up, but so the Masters ratings came out yesterday. Just to put it in perspective, you know, especially in the 239, I mean, we're all in on the Masters.
Right, we are the number one or number two market for golf in the country. It's West Palm. It's Fort Myers, Naples. It's St. Pete. They're the three biggest markets for golf in the country every week.
The Iowa-South Carolina women's basketball game almost doubled Sunday at the Masters. Almost doubled it. Now, this is the highest rated golf tournament of the year. Every year, it's the Masters. In fact, in terms of total, and if you go, well, you know, the LIV thing and what have you, okay, fine. How far back we want to go? Do you know the last time the Masters had a final round that attracted the viewership of Iowa, South Carolina women's basketball? Tiger in 01, and it's like tied. Phil's best win drew 16 million. I mean, you know, Trent, I don't know if you did it on air or off air, but the WNBA draft. By the way, 2.5 million people watch the WNBA draft.
Yeah, that's stunning to me. It's stunning.
Do you know
because we all knew who the first pick was going to be.
Right, and she's the only one that most people are interested in. So if you did watch it, how long did you watch it for? She got drafted 10 minutes in.
Yeah, I don't want to rain on the parade, but I agree with David. I think a lot of people tuned in just to hear her name called and see her, you know, see that moment.
But no, they didn't.
No.
Because that number's over the time of the entire draft. Right. So that means it peaked.
It peaked at a little over 3 million. It did 2.4 and change.
Okay. Wow. That's.
Yes.
Okay.
By the way, 2.4 million, double the highest rated hockey game that aired on ABC last weekend. The WNBA draft Monday night on ESPN or ESPN2? I think it was ESPN. Did double the highest rated hockey game over the weekend on network television. And Trent had mentioned during the break and just wanted to bring it up on air. Fanatics sold more Caitlin Clark jerseys during the draft than they've ever sold anybody else's jersey ever.
Anybody.
Male, female, football, basketball, anybody. The most jerseys they sold in a two-hour period of time was Caitlin Clark Monday night. This is a phenomenon.
What they're already putting, they guaranteed, what, 10 Indiana Fever games are going to be televised nationally?
Yep, at least.
Well, 36 of their 40 games are going to be available, whether it's CBS Sports Network, all the different outlets. 36 of their 40, anywhere in the country, there will be a way for you to watch her and them if you want to.
And for context, last season, I believe the Indiana Fever had one that was available.
And everybody, the ticket prices for the Indiana Fever games are being tripled. Okay, Vegas, who's the two-time defending league champion, plays in a 12,000-seat arena, already moved the game to the 20,000-seat arena in town.
How much pressure's on her to deliver now?
Well, pretty decent amount. You could argue, and maybe it's because we're more aware now, but Mark, you know, you were 10, I was 14-ish. Okay, when Magic and Larry entered the NBA, it feels like Caitlin has more expectation on her than they had on them.
I think because of just where we are as a society with social media and the way we cover sports, I think you may be right.
I sense even more pressure on Caitlin Clark than there was on Michael Jordan when he went to Chicago. If for no other reason, Michael was drafted third.
And Ryan in our Twitch chat room wants to know if they sell her jersey in men's sizes. They sold out of every men's size except small. I don't know why, but double X, XL, large, medium.
Yeah.
They all sold out.
Every male and female, every size they had but one sold out during the draft.
That is absolutely nuts. It is.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing for me to pull up at one of my daughter's sporting events and see a bunch of girls wearing Caitlin Clark jerseys. That
right.
would be expected.
And it's impressive.
It really is.
But yes, you would go, oh, okay, yeah. You know, that's her base. All right. But just to give you some numbers, you know, Masters, you know, we think pretty highly of it. Big deal. We talked all last week, you know, we're going to sit our butts down. You know, my wife asked me last weekend, what are you doing? I go, I'm just telling you right now, 2:30 to 7:30 Sunday, there's nothing I will do for you unless you literally are having a medical emergency in front of me. I am watching the Masters.
I shushed my mom and my wife during the Masters.
Right.
I had enough of them. Sunday dinner, had everything cooked, had everything ready ahead of time so we could sit down and eat while I watched the Masters. And even though the tournament was done, all I wanted to watch at that point was Vern to sign off a 16. That's all that was left for me.
Right. Keep it down because I want to hear what he says.
And I finally turned around and went, shh, enough. You can go back outside. I'm watching the Masters, and I'm not going to turn it up full volume to blast you out of the room, but we're getting close.
Nearly twice as many people watched Iowa-South Carolina women's basketball as watched the Masters. And there's only been one Masters this century that has had the viewership that Iowa South Carolina women's basketball had. And that was Tiger Woods winning his fourth major in a row.
I think it's important to bring this stuff up because it is so hard to wrap your mind around how much Caitlin Clark... We talked about it all season, but still somehow it's shocking to us that 2.5 million people watched the WNBA
draft. I'm stunned that 2.5 people watched the WNBA draft. The Caitlin Clark before, numbers I was starting to get because the progression was there. But that's unreal.
The year before, the draft did 5 times less viewership. 5 times less viewership.
Quintuple?
The last time the WNBA in any, a game, a draft, anything, the last time it had that many people pay attention to their product, they said it was on NBC in the early 2000s. It was a New York Liberty, and Lisa Leslie, I think, was playing on the Houston Comets. And it did like 2.5 million people.
And I wonder, and not to be a jerk, but I'm guessing it had a pretty good lead-in.
Well, and it had NBC, which was the network for the NBA then, that was pumping the heck out of it.
And the early fever games are going to do staggering numbers.
Yeah.
And that's why she has to deliver in that league in some way, shape, or form. Because, put it this way, you going to watch, Trent?
Yeah,
David, you going to watch early season WNBA ball?
I said for a year now I'm going to watch her. And most of the men who text us and are in our Twitch chat room, they're like, nah. Not going to be interested.
Are you sure?
There are 2.5 million other people that apparently are. And here's the thing. Them making it accessible to watch Indiana Fever games is a huge deal. Because it's easy. If I had, I'm broke. If I had to pay to watch Caitlin Clark, I probably wouldn't. But the fact that it's going to be on network television.
One of the highlights of the WNBA draft, I didn't see. Did you see the... When she went backstage, the first hug she gave, because she hugs her boyfriend, she hugs her parents, she goes up on stage. The first person she sees off stage was Jake from State Farm. It was absolutely fantastic.
And he's wearing like a red suit.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, he's wearing a State Farm.
But it's a suit. It was great.
Yep.
Okay, real quick, humor me. Jewel Lloyd led the WNBA in scoring last year in 24.7 points per game. Breonna Stewart, probably a name more people know, 23. If I set the over-under for 18 a game for Caitlin Clark, would you take the over or the under?
I'd take the under. Because I think she's going to be a better passer at that level.
I'm totally with you. I think she might lead the league in assists. But I'll go over. But she'll do it very late in the year.
Welcome to the Bonus Hour, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
22 minutes until the top of the hour, 16 until we're out of here. We are diving in to the NBA and the NHL playoffs the next couple days. Of course, we're also talking the NFL draft. I mean, you know, come on, that's a given. But, I mean, we're going to get the play-by-play guy of the Orlando Magic. We'll get the pregame guy for the Miami Heat. Okay, we're going to have the Panthers, Lightning. I mean, we have got you covered the next couple days on this show.
And we are fired up for all of the playoffs. And tradition, unlike any other, the Miller and Moulton Draft Show will be back this year.
Yes. And we're drinking.
It is a Twitch-only show.
Yep. Twitch.tv/Miller and Moulton. And we're doing it. Oh, yeah. We are doing this. Trent is going to see a side to us that he has never seen. This will be the closest we have to a road trip, buddy.
No, we'll have a road trip, Trent.
Well, I will also say, I mean, Mark and my dad ran in the same circles in college. I know mutually a lot of Mark's buddies. If it's anything like that, I'm pretty excited.
It's that, only it's talking about a guard from Oregon. I mean, can you get any more exciting?
No. A Big Ten guard? No.
Exactly. A Big Ten guard. The jokes this year are just going to be, oh, man.
So Bill Bender, who we have on the show all the time from the Sporting News, I'm on X yesterday, and I just see a column that he posted ranking the quarterback rooms in the Big Ten. Well, I'm a Michigan State grad, and I'm curious because they got the four-star kid to come with a quarterback. I'm like, I'm curious where they have my Spartans. And I start reading the teams, and it's, you know, Oregon, and it's USC, and I'm just going, what in the absolute hell is this?
It's time for someone to take back this segment, if for no other reason than to stop David from talking about Meghan and Harry. Here's Mark Miller with Today Was the Day When.
Big signing today, 1492. Columbus signs with Spain. Well, kind of, sort of. They sent him off to find the new Indies, or to find the Indies, and he was going to get 10% of all riches.
Is this like Dave Winfield putting his Hall of Fame hat up for auction?
Yes,
here?
Exactly, and Padres, right.
And the Padres were the winning bidder, so that's why he's in the Hall of Fame as a Padre?
1860. English champ Tom Sayers and American John Heenan fight for 2 hours and 27 minutes to a draw when police stopped the fight. It was regarded as the first ever title fight. 2 hours, 27 minutes they fought for, and the police stopped it, calling it a draw.
No way, man. I honestly, draw? No, 2.5 hours?
Champ retains the titles, all I'm saying. 1951, Mickey Mantle made his debut, went 1-for-4. 1961, this little incident in Cuba called the Bay of Pigs happened. Don't know who was responsible for that.
That didn't go well.
No, it really didn't.
At all. I mean, that's worse than some of the first round draft pick quarterbacks that have been taken. I mean, it's woo-wee. Man.
1964, the Ford Mustang makes its debut. That did work out pretty well.
Man, always wanted a Mustang.
Yeah.
Always wanted a convertible Mustang. There's only two cars I ever wanted. Wanted a Mercedes. Okay, it's kind of like getting the American Express card when you were growing up. It's like, wow, I've actually amounted to something. All right, and then you find out, it's not that big a deal. But man, did I want a Mustang.
What color, David?
Red.
Of course.
Yeah. I wanted a sign on it in which the cops were like, we are pulling you over every four blocks.
Jump all the way to 1999 for you Browns fans. With the first overall pick, the Cleveland Browns select Tim Couch.
Donovan McNabb went number two.
And Game of Thrones premiered today in 2011.
Did you guys watch it?
I binged it at the end. Everybody was so into it.
Yeah.
I watched it probably the whole thing in the course of about a month.
Okay.
I liked it.
1 to 10.
Never.
Ooh, I'd give it pretty high numbers. It was a lot better than I thought.
Worthy
it was
Worthy of
be.
The hype, in other words.
Yeah, it was. I would give it an 8.5.
I've never watched a second of it.
I haven't either, David.
J.P. Morgan, Harry Reasoner, Don Kirshner, Born Salming, and Roddy Piper all born today. Boomer Esiason, 63. Jennifer Garner and Tony Baselli are 52, and Victoria Beckham's 50. What did I miss, David?
Really big day today in 2002. The 10,000th episode of General Hospital. Okay. All right. Do we have to discuss Luke and Laura? Okay. Do we have to discuss the people who have made appearances on this show? Demi Moore was on this show. Rick Springfield, for goodness sakes, was a star on this show. John Stamos, Jack Wagner, Ricky Martin was on this show. Elizabeth Taylor did a cameo on General Hospital.
You can go GH if you want to, David. They know that one by initials.
Yeah. So this... They ended it like a year later, but 10,000 episodes.
You've heard folks elsewhere mock Florida is gonna Florida. Well, Mark Miller sees it differently. He calls it the good, the bad, and the ugly. What you got, Mark?
Cal Clifford lives in Edmond, Oklahoma. All he has ever wanted since he was a toddler was a pet octopus. His family humored him with toy versions. But as Cal got older, it became clear that only one thing would do. The real thing. So his dad finally bit the bullet and worked with an aquarium and got Cal, the 9-year-old, his pet octopus. It's good enough for me. Did you have a pet you wanted always? If you've been an apartment kid, David, you couldn't have pets. Did you ever? Did you want a pet? Because you're not a pet person because you were in the apartments. But did you ever beg mom for a cat or a dog when you were younger? Or did mom lay it down very early on in life that you weren't getting one?
Mark, it was a benevolent dictatorship, and it was only benevolent on like Sunday afternoons. Okay, there was no chance. It never entered my mind. All my friends, you know, wanted dogs and had dogs. It never came out of my mouth, the idea of having a pet. We had a crayfish, 6th grade science project, crayfish. I brought a crayfish home. My mother looked at me and said, no. I the one time I took her on as a kid and won, all right, I had Ali, the crayfish. And the reason I named him Ali was apparently this crayfish went underneath the little thing and another crayfish went underneath the little thing. And all of a sudden, 20 seconds later, okay, the little plastic top starts rattling. And next thing you know, it flips over and my crayfish had taken off all the legs and claws off the other crayfish. And I thought, see,
float like a butterfly, sting like a crayfish.
Exactly. That was like 1976. So even though I was a Joe Frazier fan, I named the crayfish Ali because he was heavyweight champion of the world at that time.
For the bad, we go to North Fort Myers and John Allison. Early Saturday morning, he entered a code to get into the Island Vista Estates. The gate wouldn't open. So he decided to ram his car through the metal gate several times until the bars snapped and he was able to drive through and get home. When the leasing office confronted him about the damage, he drove away and headed to a church right next to his neighborhood. Deputies found him inside the church with his parents and arrested him at the church in front of mom and dad. The 42-year-old faces one count of criminal mischief. Finally, the ugly. We go to the gritty streets of Collier County, where a 13-year-old was arrested after fleeing from Florida Highway Patrol in a Dodge Challenger Wednesday morning. Did I mention he was 13?
Yep.
The trooper initiated a traffic stop because he was failing to maintain a single lane on Immokalee Road. As the trooper approached, he took off. So he was placed under arrest for fleeing and eluding with no driver's license. 13. Taking the car out for a spin and got busted. I didn't get caught. And that's the good, the bad, and the ugly on today, April the 17th, 2024.
If I did that at 13 and was caught.
Oh, if I'd have got caught, my dad would have beat my ass. He would have hurt me.
I think I literally would have been allowed out of the house like a year ago. My mother was into grounding. That would have been the longest grounding in like Western civilization if I had done that. My mother used to ground me a day per minute. I was late, Trent.
Think about a day per minute. 5 minutes late, 5 day grounding.
I tell you, I would have been horrible under that rule.
I was grounded once in my life. My mother grounded me for a week. I nagged her so badly the first day of the grounding, she kicked me out of the house by 2 o'clock and told me just to get out of the house. That was the end of me being grounded.
And you stole the car on the way out.
Trent, the most I ever yelled at my mother, okay, was she was on the phone. I had to be home at 5 o'clock. She was on the phone when I got home, and I had to show her my watch. And I got home at 4:58. She would not get off the phone. And I'm literally showing her my watch. I'm home on time. She gets off the phone at 5:02. She looks at my watch, and she says, "You're late. You're grounded." Okay? Anyway. 16 baseball games today because the White Sox and Royals are playing a double dip. So everybody's playing today. Of the 16 games, 13 of them are in the afternoon, including a mighty nooner with the Marlins and the Giants. Rays are playing tonight, however. 6:50 is their new start time. 6:50 in St. Pete, Rays and Angels. Yankees trying to avoid this afternoon getting swept in Toronto. How about that? NBA, we got two games, Eastern Conference play-ins. ESPN carrying them both tonight, 7 and 9:30. Heat and Sixers, Philly favored by 5.5. Who you taking?
I'll take Philly.
Heat.
Really, Ray Allen?
I got the
really.
Heat. I'm also watching that game with Felipe. I'll send you guys updates.
Sixers unbeaten since Embiid has come back. 8-0, even though he's only played in 6 of the 8.
He's banged up.
He's
always banged up. But
we'll see.
Yeah.
So, Hawks, Bulls, Chicago favorite at home by 3.5.
Hawks.
Hawks.
I'll go Bulls.
For one game, give me Trae Young.
Give me DeMar DeRozan. NHL Lightning officially end their regular season tonight in a completely meaningless game against the Maple Leafs, and yet it's on TNT at 7 o'clock. I will say most all of these games now are meaningless. You know, Penguins, Islanders, Blues, Stars, Oilers, Coyotes, last home game in Arizona for the Coyotes for now. Bettman's giving the owner 5 years, 5 years to secure the land and build an arena. They're keeping the name and they're giving them 5 years. And if he can pull it off, they're going to give him an expansion franchise.
They are bending over backwards.
He wants that market. Bettman looks at that market, has always wanted Phoenix to work.
It's the fifth largest market in the country right now. Not even sixth anymore. It's fifth. If you were running a league on paper, you sure you don't want to be in Phoenix?
No, I get it. I get all the reasons why. It's just failed miserably.
Horribly.
The community never embraced it. Not one area has embraced it. This has just been a terribly run organization from the word go, and they've never made any progress in the community.
Yet Austin Matthews grew up there, playing there. It's kind of like what's happened in Florida, Southwest Florida, Southeast Florida, Tampa area. We've got 30 years now of kids growing up as hockey fans playing hockey. The same things happened in Arizona at the youth level. It just hasn't transferred over to the NHL team. By the way, don't you think if you own the Arizona NHL franchise, you have to get your hands on Austin Matthews? Like, just blow the salary completely out of the water? Like, give him $18 million a year when the highest salary is like 12? Don't you have to let his agent know when he becomes a free agent? Trust me, we're the highest bidder. No taxes, by the way, in our state, too.
You're probably right, David. You're probably right. Although, I don't know if it ever works there.
For what it's worth, to end the show, my dad texts me and says, I cannot wait for the Twitch NFL Draft show. I got your Uber if you go to Mills. So there you go.
8 days away.
If you wear a Ray Allen Miami Heat jersey, you're fired.
Miller and Moulton, we'll talk to you tomorrow.